this life force that the animal soul is now giving into the body to perform this mitzvah is divested from its level of self and is absolutely absorbed in the Eir Hashem in a perfect union. The Shekhinah is present there within and on the animal soul. And here, what the Alter Rebbe is saying is something powerful. I may have extremely ugly and gloomy attributes and feelings and temptations and cravings and impulses. When I'm doing a divine act, that very same soul is performing the act. That very same repulsive soul is performing the act. So if I come and I say, or someone comes and says, how can I be a Beinoni? I have to be honest. It's an oxymoron. Do you know what's going on in my soul? Sometimes people say, how can I be a Beinoni? I don't feel anything. I don't have any love. I don't have any awe. I am coarse. I'm vulgar. I'm absolutely detached. I know my own Nefesh HaBahamas. So you know what Alter Rebbe is telling him? You know, if you're given Aviv Yira, big deal. Let's say you can right now, sometimes people say, if I would just be a little metamorphosized, if I would just have a feeling, if I would just be a little more edel, a little more refined, a little more subtle, then we can begin serving Hashem. The Alter Rebbe says, you can be given Aviv Yira of Michal, Gavriel, Metatron, and Ariel, and all of the worlds combined together, and that will give you a lot of ecstasy. It won't give you the Shekhinah. It will not give you the Shekhinah. It will give you a lot of stuff. Exciting things, it won't give you the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah will still be concealed because there's an eye. Right now, when you do the mitzvah, you can get it. So this doesn't mean that it's bad to have Ava and Yir and a person shouldn't strive to it. But when a person says, I should go do the mitzvah if I would be a little more spiritual, subtle, the Alter Rebbe, there's something much more awesome happening. So this is the point. Even though the essence of the animal soul wasn't transformed, so how can we say it becomes absorbed? It's still egotistical. It still craves sin. So the Alter Rebbe says, no. Since it is the one who has to acquiesce in order that this mitzvah should be performed, the divine soul can't act in a vacuum. It has to communicate with the animal soul to act. And its inherent nature is then in exile towards the will of the divine soul. It does not prevent the Shekhinah coming down in its full intensity on the animal soul. Now it's interesting, the Alter Rebbe uses in his description four expressions when he describes the acquiescence of the animal soul towards the divine soul in performing a mitzvah, even though it's contrary to its nature. He says, "Diskafin l'kedusha," it's subjugated to holiness. "Bal karchan einin amen," against their will they say amen, which is paraphrasing a Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yutes. The next is "umaskimin," they agree. And then they accede to the performance of the mitzvah. So what is going on? Is this all happening at once? Iskafyan, balkarchan, maskimin. It seems like it's quite redundant, and perhaps you're saying it's even contradictory. So in Lekutei Levi Yitzchak on Tanya, Levi Yitzchak Schneerson, the Rebbe's father, wrote a commentary on Tanya when he was exiled in a far-flung Russian city, and with the little ink that his wife produced for him from the grass, from some of the plants that were growing there, he wrote he had a few svarim there. He wrote a whole commentary on the Zohar and on the Tanya. So he writes, the Arizal says that a mitzvah has four letters, Mem, Tzadik, Vav, He. Those four letters of a mitzvah correspond to the four letters of the tetragrammaton of Hashem's name. The last two letters of mitzvah is Vav Hei, Vav Kei. The first two letters, Mem Tzadik, if you're familiar with the exchange of Ad Bash, the first letter of the alphabet is exchanged with the last letter of the alphabet. Aleph can become Tav and Tav can become Aleph. Beis can become Shin, Shin can become Beis. Gimel can become Resh, Resh can become Gimel, and so forth. So the Mem, in that exchange, in that configuration, the mem is trans. It can be can be substituted with a yud and a yud with a mem, and the tzaddik with a hey and the hey with a tzaddik. Which the Arizal discusses at length in Likutei Parashas Bereishis. So essentially, There are four ways in doing a mitzvah. You can do a mitzvah in the level of hay, which is the lowest. You can do a mitzvah in the level of vav, which is a little higher. In the level of hay and in the level of yud. One second. The vav and the hay, the two lowest levels, is that Jew who deals with his animal soul only in the manner of iskafyin and balkar chanayin and amhin, which means the animal soul schreit gewalt no. I want to act on this temptation. And you tell it, no, no, no. That's your only ammunition. Eleven, the most dry and what sometimes seems a repressive way from the perspective of the animal soul. It's really not repressive because you're just allowing your real self to act out and so forth. But it's perceived by the animal soul as being repressive. And I said that now, when the temptation is happening, you don't feel that you're letting your real self act out. The temptation is the real self. So it's nice to say afterwards or before, but when it's happening, you have to basically deal with a dry, repressive, ruthless conviction. You have to be ruthless. That's iskafyon. And then balkar chanayin inam, and that itself is two levels. Iskafyon is mamish dry subjugation, enslavement, so to speak. And balkar chanayin inam, it's saying amen. But it's balkar chanayin inam. The Gemara says in Shabbos that you have two angels accompany you from your home Friday night, and if the house is set up with a light, with a candle that's lit, and the table is set up for Shabbos, Malach Toiv blesses you, and the Malach Ra, the negative angel, Balkar Chayin Amin. But he confirms it, he affirms it. Then there are the Jews of the two higher levels, of the Hay and of the Yud. And their relationship with a mitzvah and the relationship of the animal soul to the mitzvah is in a much deeper way. And here you have the first level is maskimin, where it agrees. It doesn't only do it because you have the power to force it. It agrees. But then there's it wants to. It wants to do it. Yeah. And that's why he says that the negative attributes are either galus or shina. Either they're in exile or they're even asleep. In exile means they're screaming no. But you're the boss. You're in exile. You're in prison. There's a boss. Shina means the negative attributes are asleep. You're not a tzaddik because they can wake up in an hour. But there are moments in the Beinoni during davening, or by Rabbi it was all day. By Rabbi, he said in Perikid Gimel davening was all day, where it's asleep. It's not a tzaddik, it's there, but it's asleep. It's asleep, it's not felt. So there can be maskimin, it's like you agree to someone else, but you're not motivated yourself, although you agree. Then there's, you become a full partner. You know, sometimes I agree with what you're saying, I cannot have any opposition to it, but I'm not really motivated to go and do it. You want to do it, gesunte heit. Mitaret, I become a partner in it. But in any of these cases, even in the lowest case, the Nefesh HaBahamas has to acquiesce. It's a full partner. Not full in the sense of its totality, its whole personality. But that which is happening is absolutely attributed to the animal soul. And since what is happening? Ratzin Ha'elyon is being implemented. That becomes its definition at the moment. It's stripped from I. Its definition is Ratzin Ha'elyon. It merges with Ein Sof in an absolute unity. That's Dr. Rebbe's analysis. You see, for him, godliness was real. How he analyzes godliness, and it was pashut real. Like you'll analyze a physical piece of wood. Huh?
There's really no difference
between Moshe Rabbeinu putting on tefillin and a regular. You're 100% correct. In this context, there's absolutely no difference between Moshe Rabbeinu putting on tefillin and a simple yid putting on tefillin. I have to look that up and look at the Torah. Where does he say Mishapach? Oh, Mishapach Miral Atayv. At the moment, you're asking, what does it mean Mishapach Miral Atayv? No, because Because a moment later it could be used for something else, right? Nesabech me'al teva at the moment. No, he says, Koyach nefesh achiyunis shebegufay mamish, which is being piled va'isa ha-mitzvah, that koyach is the sabich min alatov. That koyach will not exist a moment later. That's a life force that existed at this moment in time. And that is indeed transformed and becomes redefined for all of eternity. The nefesh constantly produces cells and constantly produces spiritual koyaches and so forth. It's active, it's vibrant, it's constant. It's constantly alive, yes. Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shamayim is not the Mayach Shalat L'Alev discussed here. You want to know if it's synonymous. Mayach Shalat L'Alev is one of the basic doctrines of Tanya and includes two components. A, and that is what we are addressing here, Mayach Shalat L'Alev, which means the Mayach masters the heart. It doesn't influence the heart. It just masters the heart. It compels the heart to prevent itself from engaging in something or to engage in something despite its own qualities. A deeper element of Mayach Shalat L'Alev is that Alter Rebbe believed that meditation and contemplation can result in creating certain emotions in the heart, which is a deep, you change your personality through Mayach. Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shamayim is an awareness level. It's not a practical mitzvah. Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shamayim is a level of awareness. It produces practical mitzvahs. So the practical mitzvahs element, you need Mayach Shalat L'Alev. The awareness of Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shamayim comes through study and contemplation and meditation and so forth. Yes? What time is it? Yeah. Yes, when you do the mitzvah, you do the mitzvah. You did the mitzvah. It's Ratzon Aliyah. If it's Ratzon Aliyah, it just has to be the divine will. If the Tzaddik Gomer does a mitzvah, he's not worse than a Beinoni who does a mitzvah. We're not saying that just because he experiences spirituality, it makes him worse than a Beinoni who experiences only physicality. Avata nisht. It doesn't make him worse in this element. You mean misasik? Well, obviously, shaloi lishma. So you want to say the question is if shaloi lishma would include this result as well. And you're saying there's no iskafya there because the Nefesh HaBamis wants to do it for ulterior motives, for klipa motives. But on the other hand, right, the guf is involved in the mitzvah. The middas are not involved. They're detached. They can still be absorbed in their own game, in their own trip. But perhaps those elements that are involved. The point is the elements that are involved, yes?
You said the Beinoni only experiences physicality. I can't understand how it's possible to constantly force your animal soul to do the right thing. It can't happen.
Good question. I stand corrected. I said the Beinoni only experiences physicality. Mistake. This concept Alter Rebbe discussed at length in the earlier chapters, 12, 13, 14, and on. The Beinoni doesn't only experience physicality. I just meant relative to the tzaddik. The Beinoni experiences his divine soul as well. He must experience his divine soul to really give him the energy. He has to recharge his batteries every day during davening to reconnect with his true essence. The point is that even when the Beinoni absolutely does not feel his divine soul, is not in touch with any spiritual truth whatsoever, he feels the only significant and valuable and meaningful reality is that of the temptation of the animal soul, he nonetheless always possesses the full power not to fall prey to its temptations and to remain loyal to his true essence and not to behave in a way which is being a result of the cover-up of reality. Klipa. That's the point. Let's just conclude. There's another few lines. And Alter Rebbe continues. And through this, thereby, mamshicha ara leklolos nefesh achiyunus shabachal aguf. The person draws down a ray of the Ein Sof upon the totality of the animal soul throughout the body, which means not just on the force, not just on the power of the animal soul that's closed in this act, but the animal soul is multifaceted and multidimensional and multifeatured and so forth, but rather on the totality of the animal soul existing in the human being, in the whole body, and upon the entire body as well. Again, not just on the koyach haguf, the physical part of the body and its power that's involved in the mitzvah, but on the body as well, on the whole body as well. However, it's bebchinas makif, milmaila. The ray that illuminates the animal soul in the body is communicated in a manner known as makif, which means encompassing it from above, meyoshevad raglov, from head to foot. There is the Eir Hashem being communicated to this element, the Shekhinah being communicated in a pnimistic way, in an internal way, which means those elements that are performing the mitzvah are redefined. They're divested from their definition as a self-conscious reality, and they're redefined as elements that are expressing the divine will. But as a result of this illumination, the whole animal soul and the whole body is somewhat more refined, is somewhat brought closer, albeit in a more general and encompassing way, to this truth that there's no eye outside of the divine eye. Similar to the fact that when oil is consumed in the flame, the fire extends to the whole home, even though we should hope that the whole home doesn't become consumed in the flame. The oil becomes consumed and transformed into the flame. But the flame extends and illuminates the entire home. And the same is true in this case. The mitzvah, the performance of the mitzvah and the elements that are defined, they are the oil, as he discussed above. They are the oil that cease to be. They cease to be. They don't have an eye. They become the flame. But the light extends and illuminates the whole home, even though the whole home still has an eye. And this is what it says in Zayar. And here he concludes explaining the Zayar, the words of the Yenukah of the land. What did the Zayar say? That the Shekhinah always dwells above our head and it needs oil, and the oil are good deeds. This is the meaning in the words of the Zayar. The Shekhinah that the Shekhinah rests upon his head. Al daika, specifically upon. Not in his head. Al, on his head. Doesn't mean physically. It means it's the level of makif, because the entire body is illuminated with this light from above, so to speak. Above versus within. V'chein, similar vein, we have the expression in Gemara that he quotes later, akol be'asar shkintashayir, upon every assembly of Jews, the divine presence rests. Again, akol, upon. And now the Alter Rebbe concludes with the final comment. V'hine. Because in light of the above, we understand that Maisim Tovim are crucial in a person's life in order for him to have the Shekhinah resting in his life and on his life. Hashras Hashchina. The soul is not enough for that. Ava is not enough. Yira is not enough. Obviously, transgressions can obviously not serve as a receptacle for the Shekhinah. They're the greatest concealment of the Shekhinah and its identity. obviously a materialistic life, isn't, even though it's not transgressions, it's obviously a product of the Hester Ponim, that's not a receptacle for the Shechinah. The Chiddush with Alter Rebbe was, even Aven Yiren Shama, that I'm not egotistical, there's an I. And if it's an I, it's a product of Hester Ponim. So what do you need? You need Torah Mitzvahs. Torah Mitzvahs introduces the Shechinah into your life. You get it. There you get it. You have it. You're connected. Torah Mitzvahs. In that itself, however, there is the Hashras HaShechinah through Torah, which is relegated exclusively, primarily to the divine soul, and its two garments of thought and words. Then there is the mitzvah, the practical mitzvah, which extends the Shechinah to the animal soul, as well as to deeds, to the third garment of the divine soul. And then there is the mitzvah that extends the light in a makivdik way to the entire body and to the entire animal soul. So in this vein, the Alter Rebbe continues. Now whenever we talk about the hamshach of Eir HaShechinah, the manifestation of the energy of the Shechinah, Shehibchinas Giluyer in Sof Baruch Hu, meaning the ways in which the Ein Sof light is revealed. Because what does it mean, Hamshachas HaShechinah? The Shechinah is present everywhere. Again, there's no real eye. The Shechinah is present everywhere. We're talking about the Giluy of the Shechinah. That's what we mean, that the Shechinah can be revealed there. It can be defined as a place of the Shechinah. That becomes the definition of the place, which means it doesn't have any other definition, because if it has any other definition, it can't be the Shechinah's definition of reality. The Shechinah's definition, when a reality is defined by the Shechinah's presence there, it has to lose every other definition. You can't have any other definition. So the Alter Rebbe says, Einin yikre shinui chas v'shalom bayiz barnach v'lei ribuy. None of this can be construed as a change in himself or as a plurality. In other words, the fact that we say that the Shechinah is now present in this human being or in this space, prior to this, it was not present in this human being or in this space. Apparently, that should affect a change in the Shechinah. There's a change in the Shechinah. Something happened to it. Or, perhaps you can say, that the various modes in which the Shechinah is present, for example, in the divine soul, in the animal soul, in the totality of the animal soul, in a makiv dikawe, in a pnimis dikawe, indicates that there is plurality. So the Alter Rebbe says there's no change and there's no plurality. What does this mean? The Isa b'Sanhedrin, as we find in the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Amaleahu Minilur Am Gamliel, a heretic, a certain heretic, Satur Am Gamliel, Amrisu Kol Be'asad Shchinta Shari Kam Shchinta Yislachu. You guys say that the Shchina rests on every assembly of 10 Jews. How many Shchinas have you? V'Heishiv Loi, and Am Gamliel replied, Marshal Meir Hashem Shanichnas B'Chalenas Rabim Chuli. He replied with the analogy of the sun's light which enters through many windows, etc. And obviously he's referring to the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin Lamatasa Med Aleph, where the Gemara says that this heretic asked him, Gamliel, how many divine presences do you have if on every assembly of 10 Jews, whether they are in China or in Africa or in Egypt or in New York, on every assembly of 10 Jews the Shekhinah rests. So how many Shekhinahs do you have? How many divine presences do you have? So the Gemara says, the Alter Rebbe doesn't get into details, that Rebbe Gamliel summoned the heretic's attendant. And he hit him on the neck. And he said, why do you allow the light of the sun to intrude into your master's home? In other words, what type of attendant are you? You allow alien forces to enter into your master's home, you're supposed to protect it. So the attendant responded and said, Shimsha kul almanaycha, what do you want from me? The sun shines on the entire world. How can one prevent the sun from shining into my home? So Reb Gamliel responded and said to the heretic, if the sun, which is only thousands upon myriads of servants that administer Hashem, and nevertheless it shines in the entire world, all the more so that the Shechinah should be able to rest in many places at once. The Marsha writes that the heretic believed that Hashem is physical, Chas v'Shalom. So no other order than in the presence of every 10 Jews there should be a Shekhinah. You have to have a lot of Shekhinahs. So Rabbi Gamliel refuted him on his own ground, saying that even the sun, which is physical, can nevertheless shine in more than one place at a time. So literally, the interpretation of the Gemara is that the Shekhinah is obviously one singular Shekhinah, and nevertheless, there can be a lot of Jews in various places, and the Shekhinah should shine among all of them. Certainly, we know that it's not physical. But Alter Rebbe here is adding an important point and a significant point. Despite the multitude of windows, there's only one light. And if you add another window to your home, so more light comes into your home. You're not going to say that that creates a change in the sun, in the luminary. Why not? You opened another window and more light came into your home. The same holds true. If you have one window which is stained glass, another window is stained glass in another color, and therefore the light takes on multicolored appearances of the windows. Nevertheless, you're not going to say that the sun is multicolored and so forth. So the Alter Rebbe is saying the same principle applies here. All the various modes in which the light of the Shekhinah is manifested, the light remains the same. The Shekhinah is not changed. You open another window in your life, so the Shekhinah becomes present there as well. But that doesn't change any effect in the Shekhinah. And again, the fact that in the Nefesh HaChiyunis it's like this, and the Nefesh HaChiyunis it's like that, has exclusively to do with the receptacle. When the receptacle is in one mode, it allows... It changes the way it perceives the Shekhinah. It has to do with our perception of it, never with the Shekhinah itself. And the Alter Rebbe concludes, V'hamaskil yavin, and the intelligent one will understand this. So here, he concluded the first phase in answering his awesome question at the beginning of the chapter. What is the purpose of creating the Beinoni who toils all his life apparently in vain? He never transforms his animal soul. He's not supposed to. Even if he tries hard, he can't because he's not supposed to. And what is the real purpose in spiritual behavior in La'asaisai? And Alter Rebbe prefaced it with the words of the Zohar, of the Yenuka, of the lad, that it's only good deeds that are oil, because it's only the good deeds that are absorbed in the divine energy. And thus here we begin to understand, this is the first phase in the explanation, the purpose of the creation of the Beinoni, the shrew. He doesn't manage to experience ecstatic appreciation of godliness. He has to constantly struggle and struggle. But really getting it, really connecting with true energy, the Beinoni has constantly. Because La Saisai, a behavior of Torah and Mitzvahs, which is the real thing that he has. And this answers the real question of why the divine soul had to come into the animal soul and create a shidduch and a marriage, even though they die arguing. The husband and the wife in this case die arguing. They maybe have moments of peace on Yom Kippur during davening, but basically they're arguing and fighting. So what's the purpose? Here we have it. And that's why the second half of the chapter was so crucial. Alter Rebbe didn't stop where we stopped last week. He had to continue this second part of the chapter. You don't affect the animal soul. You affect the animal soul in an unbelievable way. You don't allow it to have ecstasy and to become ecstatic from godliness, but you allow it to have intimacy with Hashem. Your animal soul, not just your divine soul. The life of the Beinoni, notwithstanding the gloominess operating in his inner psyche, is a perpetual life that introduces the essence of godliness into the animal soul, where the animal soul becomes overwhelmed, drowned, absorbed, totally, unequivocally. That's the nature of Shekhinah. It has to be totally and unequivocally in the divine energy. Not just the soul, which indicates the transcendental element of man. Even the animal in you that you deal with and struggle with your whole life, and you say, Vas habich from this animal, when you're doing a mitzvah, this animal in you is becoming totally absorbed in the divine energy. Just conclude with a little story. Once there was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, his name was Rabbi Yechiel. Rabbi Yechiel was a real chassid, a pious Jew. But his physical life, he was missing many components that make life comfortably in a materialistic way. He was poverty stricken. He always had another tzara, constantly always had another problem, and so forth. And each year he would travel to the Alter Rebbe for one of the holidays, and his wife nudged him constantly. When you're going to the Alter Rebbe, you go into the Alter Rebbe, ask him advice and a blessing. You should pray on your behalf to Hashem to help us, and so forth. For Rabbi Chiel, he would go into the Alter Rebbe's room, he would forget about everything, and he would ask about his spiritual life. This happened one year, a second year, a third year. One year before he left, his wife told him, if you don't come back asking the Alter Rebbe about our fortune and what we should do, I'm not opening the door for you. Go find yourself another home. Enough is enough. So Rabbi Chiel came for Yom Tov to the Alter Rebbe, and after Yom Tov he went in on Yechidus for a spiritual private audience with the Rebbe. And as you can imagine, he forgot. Because he was in the presence of the Alter Rebbe. So other things mattered and other things were important and so forth. And he left the room without asking a bracha for his physical affairs. He left the room, he reminded himself, Oy gewalt, I'm not going to be able to come home. So he was extremely humiliated and humbled, but he decided he has to go back into the Rebbe. Shalom bayis is extremely important. So he goes back into the Rebbe and he tells the Rebbe his story. So the Alter Rebbe meditated. And then the Alter Rebbe said, Rabbi Chiel, you have to understand, and you have to explain this to your wife, that I know souls that are waiting 500 years in Gan Eden to come down into this physical world. I know such souls. 500 years they're waiting. They're begging day after day that they should be allowed to come into the physical world. Why? They want to do a mitzvah. They know what a mitzvah is. They want to learn Torah and do a mitzvah. Your soul had the merit to come down into this world. So you're still complaining. You have the ability to come down into this world and learn Torah and observe mitzvah with everything that's entailed. What room is there to complain? Have a wonderful week. Oh, I just wanted to answer your question. Huh? I just wanted to answer your question. It was a good question. You asked, L'chore, through Limud HaTorah, you also affect your animal soul. Your question before, that through Limud HaTorah you also affect your animal soul. No, just before. You don't remember. Right. Dr. Rebbe says that through learning Torah, what happens? Your divine soul becomes absorbed in Eir Hashem and its two first faculties of thought and speech. So we understand why only the two faculties of thought and speech. You're not doing anything when you're learning Torah. There's no Koyach HaMais. There's only Koyach HaMachshava and Dibur. But why only the divine soul? How are you thinking? Not through your brain. Who's animating your brain? There's no Koyach HaGuv there. There's no Nefesh HaChiyunis. How you're talking? Not through your... when you're chewing matzah, you're using your teeth. And when you're talking, who's animating the tongue? Why dafke by mitzvahs do you have the nefesh abahamas? And that's taka the chiddush of la'asaisa. Tayr also. Nachmer. Everyone asked the question at the beginning of Perek Lamed Zayin, the Alter Rebbe says this. That when you speak words of Torah, you transform the animal soul, because without the animal soul, the teeth wouldn't be able to function, and the tongue wouldn't be able to function, and the lips wouldn't be able to operate, and the mouth wouldn't be able to operate, and so on and so forth. Right? That's how I understood your question. Well, anyway, this is a very important question, because it's a big yisod of la'asaisa, why you need tafka mitzvahs ma'asis, and why without mitzvahs ma'asis you don't have the real thing, because the nefesh abahamas wasn't taken. Apparently through Limud HaTorah you have the same thing. So here there's an interesting thing. If you look in the Alter Rebbe's Lashon on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, he says the line beginning In the center of the page, that the Nefesh HaBahamas is transformed. Why? In the first version of the Tanya, it didn't say the word Maisa. Alter Rebbe added this when the Tanya had to go to print. It said Va'isa HaMitzvah. Now he added Va'isa Maisa HaMitzvah. And then he adds Shabil Ode Lehoisa Nefesh HaLekis Payalos Begov Klan. He could have said, Me'acher shehu apoel v'aisa ma'isa mitzvah. He adds, Shebilad de'eloi ha'isa nefesh alikis payalas beguf klan. And here indeed lay the explanation. There's a very big difference between machshava dibra ma'isa. Machshava and dibur are properties that exist in the divine soul per se. When the neshama, before it comes onto this world, it has a mind, and it learns, and it understands, and it thinks, and it communicates in its own way. It's just learning Torah in a body, when it's in a body, necessitates a physical brain, and a physical mouth, and so forth. And indeed, the Nefesh HaChiyunis contributes to that. We're dealing primarily with a Nefesh HaLikis experience. With a Nefesh HaLikis experience. It's just in order for this experience to happen, in this world you need the Nefesh HaChiyunis, true. But Machshava and Dibur essentially, what's Machshava and Dibur? As he called it, it's Levushim HaPnimim. What is thought and speech? What is their function? That a certain awareness that you understand through your mind should be able to be communicated. That's what Machshava and Dibur are. They're a levush, they're a garment to express something that's essentially a property of the divine soul. A certain awareness and understanding in the mind of the divine soul, and so forth. Yes, in order for it to be processed in your physical body, you need an Nefesh HaChiyunis. Maisa is something else. That's what he's saying. Maisa is ma'achar shehu apoyel va'oysa maisa ha-mitzvah. Machshav and Dibur also does it. But Maisa is something that is exclusively attributed to the animal soul. It's not a property of the divine soul that is being processed and implemented fully in your physical life through the Nefesh HaChiyunis. Maisa, by its whole definition, is something that begins in the realm of the animal soul. Maisa means you're going to affect something physical, which means through your body. And here the Nefesh HaChiyunis plays the role. So in Torah, so to speak, you're going to make your divine soul godly. Yeah, in order to express it, you need Machshav and Dibur, the Nefesh HaChiyunis plays a role, and obviously it's affected. In Maisa Mitzvahs, you're turning to your animal soul. You're dealing with your animal soul now, you're dealing with your physical self. That's what Maisa is about. So in Maisa, here the Nefesh HaChiyunis is transformed in a much deeper way. Apparently that's the word. But Rebbe couldn't just say me'acher shehu apel v'isa ma'isa mitzvah. That's true even in Limud HaTorah. He does it. You can't think without the Nefesh HaChiyunis. He says shebiladei lo ha'isa nefesh alikis pa'el is beguf klal. By Torah, without the Nefesh HaChiyunis, an external component would be missing. In the spiritual world, you have Limud HaTorah without it. When it comes to Maisa, Biladi Lehesa Nefesh Alekis Payelas Beguf Klal, the Nefesh Alekis Hunters Wutzu Kerenzich when it comes to Maisa. It doesn't have a relationship with Maisa HaMitzvahs. The Nefesh HaChiyunis is not just an expressor, a facilitator, a conduit. Machshava and Dibur are there for Seichel, they're not there for anything else. You speak with something that you know, you think, some an awareness, an idea. We spoke, Machshava and Dibur are communicators. They're facilitators. That's where the Nefesh HaChiyunis comes into the picture. You're not going to the Nefesh HaChiyunis. You're busy with the Nefesh HaLikis. When it comes to Maisa Mitzvahs, this is a property exclusively of the animal soul. You understand? Without it, the Nefesh HaLikis can bechal not have a relationship with the Guf. Here you're going to transform the Nefesh HaChiyunis, the Nefesh HaBahamas. Apparently that's the explanation. So it seems. Alter Rebbe doesn't say clearly, but apparently that's what it seems. And Perek Dalet. Well, Dr. Rebbe said in the beginning of Perek Dalet, you can look in the beginning of Perek Dalet, what you're asking. He says that Klolus Taryag Evari Nafshim Elabashim B'Taryag Mitzvah Satera. Apparently, there's the Tayag Evarim of the Nefesh Alakis and Tayag Evarim of the Nefesh Abamas. Just like there are 10 Kaychas in each. The 10 Kaychas are subdivided into Tayag Evarim. But these are spiritual features, not physical. They parallel to the physical features. Yeah. The motivator can be a ruchni. The nefesh alakis could want to do a mitzvah.
Yeah, the
fine. You asking the nefesh alakis? No, but he said that the nefesh alakis is a lower darga in ruchnis, and thus it can be a mamutzeh. It can go into the blood. The nefesh alakis will not be able to go into the blood.
But now at a different level, that even then.
Yeah.
What's the driving force of my child? Who gives that the ability?
No.
I thought it's the nefesh alakis.
Right. Avada, it's pile, but it needs the nefesh achiyunis, and it has to deal with it and acquiesce to it, just like the nefesh achiyunis has to acquiesce to the nefesh alakis. In Machshava and Dibur, the end goal is the Nefesh HaLakis experience. A spiritual Nefesh HaLakis experience. Chachma Nefesh HaLakis, Bina the Nefesh HaLakis, Dasa the Nefesh HaLakis. Yes, in a body it needs, in this world it has to, this experience must have the garment of the Nefesh HaChiyonis and the Guf. In a Maisa, the end goal is the Nefesh HaChiyonis and the Guf. Because this Perek is trying to explain the Nefesh HaBahamas. Because you can ask the question I asked. First of all, in the beginning of the Perek, he said he wants to explain La Saisi, the Chiddush of La Saisi. Second of all, in Zayar, it says Uvdan Tavan Maisim Taif. Third of all, Vahu Yikir, the Perek is coming to explain why the Beinoni has to deal his whole life with the Nefesh HaBahamas. The tell explanation till here in Tanya, it would suffice if you just want to explain that the Beinoni, notwithstanding his struggles, becomes connected with the Shechina. I don't care through Torah, through mitzvah, through both of them, but you want to explain the Nefesh HaBahamas piece, that you need mitzvahs. So he says it's a contrast.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.